All right, thank you, Nina. And continuing on with some international updates, at least six international financial institutions have lowered their annual growth forecast for China's economy this year to below the government's target due to falling export demand and a stubborn property crisis. China has officially forecast growth of around 5% this year, following 5.5% growth in the first half and 3% last year. But some institutions have downgraded forecasts from early 2023 or late last year with a low of 4.5%.
The outlooks by the likes of Barclays, JP Morgan Chase and UBS, which reflect the expectations of many overseas investors, present a challenge for the world's second largest economy despite Beijing's upbeat talk about market sentiment. China's economy had expanded by over or near 10% every year from 2003 to 2010 before growing by just 2.3% in 2020. And this was the lowest growth rate since 1976. Its economic health affects confidence among the world's multinationals, sets the beat for global manufacturing and ripples into developing economies that rely on Chinese trade and inbound investment. At the end of last month, Beijing introduced a raft of stimulus measures to stoke household consumption, rescue the property market and also stabilize the yuan. China's exports fell by 8.8% year-on-year to $284.9 billion in August, while imports fell by 7.3% last month to $216.5 billion. The official Xinhua news agency said last week that growth of around 5% is achievable despite external uncertainties. According to Edwin Lai, director of the Center for Economic Development at Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, a high interest rate environment in the world that has not recovered from COVID and also suffers from the shock of the Ukraine means weak global demand. Many forecasters said China's property market troubles will weigh on 2023 growth, with $42.7 trillion real estate sector have been under pressure since officials began tightening credit rules to guard against speculation in 2017. A spokeswoman for S&P Global Ratings said last week that in June the firm expected 5.2% growth for this year, but given the renewed property sector weakness, slowing consumption and limited macroeconomic stimulus, the outlook has deteriorated. China, with 1.4 billion people, has issued more than 719 million real estate certificates in the past decade.
China's economic situation has so far confounded market expectations of more forceful stimulus by rolling out restrained measures. August trade and inflation data shows that the pace of deterioration in domestic demand is moderating. Online job ads have plunged 83% year-on-year. But authorities are signaling a continued stance of restrained measures to keep growth range-bound. Maybank is downgrading their forecast for China's GDP growth to 4.8% in 2023 from 5% and 4.4% in 2024 from 4.6%. And my colleague Nina Razman is ready with touchscreen, bringing you some data and statistics from Maybank Research. Over to you, Nina.
Definitely, it's not a good news for China and for us, even though China just got off deflation. Definitely, China has also been our largest partner in the trade for more than 10 years. So I'm going to show, share you with the China economics that is sourced by Maybank Research. There's a few indicators to show how China's trade is currently doing, but I'm going to go break down into export and import. How can we see about the China's export growth? For you can see during the 2021, we can see the export value is up high here, around here, while export volume, we can see it's stagnant around this level. But according to the China exports growth, export fell by a narrower magnitude of negative 8.8%. In August, we can see this one, negative 8.8% in August. But rose by nearly 10% nearly rose in the volume of terms. So this is the performance of the China exports growth. Next, how can we look at China's imports? How its growth for until the August this year? We can see that from this graph, we can see it's a bit opposite the performance for China's export, but it's a bit up and down for the import value and import for the imports value and volume. We can see that that imports fell by, we can say, fell by 17.3% by value over here, and but jumped 18.4% in volume. And this is the performance you can see for China export and China imports growth. Talking about their performance on export imports, how we can say the exports of China towards the major markets. We can see in China shipment to ASEAN declined at a milder pace. We can see at negative 13.3%. While those to Russia outperform. We can see that China's export to major market around here, to understand it, to simplify it, we can see that China export to major market, and we can see ASEAN, EU, Russia, US and rest of Asia is declining. Well, we can say the opposite for Russia. Russia, we can see a bit up increase with China export to major market, which is Russia. Russia is the only for major market is getting a high export from China. And next, we can see how can we see the China's imports from the major markets, which China imports from, we can see from the Asian, EU, Russia, US and the rest of Asia. We can see that China imports from Asian, EU, yeah, from China, Asian, EU and including the US. We can see three of this plunge in August. Plunge in August, Albert, by a smaller margin. And this is the performance that we can see for Maybank Research to see how is the China export and import growth, including the China export to major markets and even China imports from major markets. And the latest news about China's economic slowdown could increase the risk of Beijing taking military actions towards Taiwan. The Republican chair of a U.S. Congressional Committee on China said on Monday, drawing a contrast with Democratic President Joe Biden, who said it made it less likely. Biden on Sunday called China's economic troubles a crisis and said on a trip to Asia that he did not think it would cause China to invade Taiwan, noting instead that he felt Beijing probably did not have the same capacity it previously did. And Nabila, back to you, Nabila. Who are we having our guest today to discuss further on the China's economy, including Malaysia's?
All right, thank you, Nina, for rolling out all the data and statistics. And to help us understand better on China economics, we have Erica T, economist from Maybank Investment Banking Group. Good morning, Erica.
Morning, Nabila.
All right, China is out of the deflation but faces the threat of relapse, mainly due to slow domestic consumption, high youth unemployment and a decline in exports, among factors dragging on post-COVID recovery. So can you share on how might China's economic challenges impact Malaysia's economy, particularly in terms of trade and investment, and what measures could potentially prevent China from going back into deflation?
Yes, so indeed, China's reopening recovery has been weaker than expected. We see the drag coming from two main causes. Firstly, falling private sector investments, and secondly, a soft labor market. So if businesses don't have the confidence to expand, and if they cut jobs, the Chinese consumer is going to be hurt. And remember, every worker is a consumer. So the implications for Southeast Asia, including Malaysia, are multifaceted because the region is a top exporter of goods to China, from commodities to household appliances. And slumping trade with China has been dragging down GDP growth for the first half of the year in countries from Malaysia to Singapore. But in August, we see signs that the deterioration is bottoming out. ASEAN's exports to China are still falling, but not as sharply as before. In terms of policy support, the epicenter of China's slowdown is actually the weak real estate market, and we are seeing China roll out measured policies to put a bottom to prices and housing sales. Since the end of August, there's been a flurry of small moves to cut home loan rates and to cut the cash down payments for home purchases. So far, in the last week, we're seeing the market respond positively. So in major cities such as Beijing and Shenzhen, housing sales have already started to improve. So we're hopeful of a bottom coming quite soon.
All right. Maybe you can share with us what are the key factors contributing to the downgrade in China's GDP growth forecast for 2023 and 2024 from 5% previously to 4.8 and 4.6 to 4.4. And how might these changes affect Asian economy, especially in terms of its trade relations and export to China, considering Malaysia and China has become one of the partner trade for more than 10 years?
Yes, so we're downgrading because it's becoming clear that China is unlikely to unleash a massive stimulus that will fuel a burst of GDP growth, but rather they're more focused on preventing downside risks. So it's going to be a delicate balancing act for the Chinese government because they don't want to overstimulate the market and reignite a housing bubble because this will lead to more financial stability risks down the road. So we think that China is comfortable with growth coming in slightly below 5%, and the regional economies will see a cooler China in the next couple of years.
Seeing that the growth in auto shipments, particularly electric vehicles, it stands out amidst the export slump in China. So how might ASEAN, perhaps Malaysia, as a producer of automotive parts and electronics, benefit from this and may be affected by China's growth in the electric vehicle market?
Yes, China's electric vehicles are dominating global sales. And I think ASEAN is in a good position to benefit from this trend. So brands such as Geely, BYD, SAIC are setting up plants in Malaysia, Thailand and Indonesia to serve the global market because firstly, the region has the natural resources needed for EV batteries, so that's very rare. And also because countries such as Malaysia and Thailand already have established automaking facilities and ecosystems. So we believe that China's EV boom will contribute to the region's green manufacturing renaissance.
All right, taking consideration of the return of positive CPI inflation in China, partly due to tourism expenses, could have implications for Malaysian tourism industry. How might changes in Chinese tourism patterns impact Asian's economy and its effort to attract Chinese tourists?
So China's domestic tourism sector has been booming after the reopening late last year. During the July and August school holidays that just passed, mainland hotels and tourism providers saw a huge surge in demand. So the question for us is, when will this travel boom trickle down to ASEAN and other overseas destinations? The good news is we're starting to see Chinese visitors coming back in droves. So they were previously held back by the slow resumption of flights between China and Southeast Asian markets. But we've seen that airlines have increased capacity by more than 30% in this quarter. So we're confident that a recovery will continue. They may not be as big spending as before, but they will be back.
All right, Erica, if I could quote an economist, Mohammad Al-Aryan, he mentioned that China will no longer be the world's largest economy and market needs to recognize that the country is not reverting to its old economic and financial playbook. So what are your thoughts on this?
Indeed. So China's growth model is evolving to one that is less driven by large injections of credit and investments and going to move to a model that is more sustainable. It's not a bad thing. And we must remember that China still is a huge market. It's still a factory to the world and still the largest economy in Asia. So it will continue to be a source of demand as well as a source of risks to the region.
We can see, as you mentioned, that China is still a major player in the market within the international, globally. But how can we talk about, you mentioned China goals is evolving. How about the China's economy policy, for instance, and performance in the second half of 2023, which impact investor sentiment, trade relations and economic stability in Malaysia, especially considering Malaysia's role in China's Belt and Road Initiative and its position as a key trading partner?
Yes, so there are two aspects to this. First is that the Chinese authorities will likely need to devote more financial resources and more attention to supporting domestic growth priorities at home. So the result is a scaling down of their overseas infrastructure finance projects all over the region. On the other hand, China's private sector firms are seeking to expand beyond the domestic market, which has been quite sluggish. So they're seeking a blue ocean markets in ASEAN to grow their income streams. So I think we will continue to see a flurry of foreign direct investments coming out from China's private sector into tech, into EVs, as well as renewable energy.
All right, definitely. I want to say thank you very much to the Economist Maybank Investment Banking Group, Erica Tay, for helping us understand China's challenges and the potential impact that may have on Malaysia's economy, trade, and we can say a nation. Definitely, I want to say thank you very much to Erica, and every of our discussion will be uploaded within astrawani.com and all platforms of Digital Astrawani.